honor and praise. Man, I read it this morning. You want to know what's going on in heaven right now? I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. 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 Morning, church. And I feel the presence of God. You feel the presence of God this morning? Woo. Amen. I'm just asking God what we should do this morning. I know God's got an awesome message. You might notice I'm preaching from a different pulpit today. Well, that's on purpose. That's on purpose. I pray you're doing well. Did you have a good week? All right, some people didn't. That's all right. You're in the house of God. All things are going to change today. Amen? I'm going to worship him even if my week stunk, even if I had hard things, even if I got disowned, even if I lost my job, even if I got sick. I will worship the King. I will worship the King. I hope you were blessed last month with our theme, Dear Church. Amen? Man, I was so blessed. I was so thankful God did a new thing. Amen? Man, I had to sit on a chair, and I'm telling you, my legs were like, ooh, get up and dance, do something. But I obeyed what God said, and it was a great, great, great series. I'm so thankful that God continues to pour out his fresh outpouring. Amen? This month's theme in October is honor. 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 This is a word that we don't hear very often anymore. Amen? Amen. Come on, girl. Woo! Man, that's awesome. Honor. Sadly, also a thing we don't experience very often anymore either. The Bible gives us many references and even has many commands about honor. But where do we lose this valuable attribute in our everyday lives? When I say the word honor, what comes immediately to your mind? Wait, you shout it out. I'm going to say it in this mic so we can record it. When I say the word honor, what do you think about? First thing, go ahead. Jesus, respect, glory, military, lift up. Anything else? Reverence. Amen. Parents. Serve. Anything else? Righteousness. Your husband. I don't know who said that, but amen. I think it was my wife. I'm just playing. Amen. Lord, please don't let me get in trouble for that. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anything else? When I say the word honor, what do you think about? Leaders. Pastors, amen. Anything else? Parents, somebody said parents again, amen. What would you say? King. Sacrifice. What? The world. Okay, these are all excellent, excellent, excellent. Honor taught in Scripture is far different than the type of honor that's taught in this world. Today's sermon, I pray, raises the bar in our lives and how we view and participate in everyday honor. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask that right now you move just like you moved during worship with instruments and song. And God, I pray that right now you empty me out and fill me up with your Spirit. God, may you anoint my lips to preach the good news, to set the captive free, to raise the dead, and to send the demons where they belong. God, I thank you right now, and I just ask for a cultivation upon the hearts in this that's listening to this sermon today. May you open up their hearts to receive God's word and to be set free. And God, may there be a new set of honor in all of our lives. God, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen, amen. Worldly honor comes with fame and wealth, and in the end is meaningless and short-lived. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Honor and awards are heaped upon those with wealth, political clout, worldly power, and with celebrity status. And those who thrive on the world's fleeting honor do not understand what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Pharisees in the time of Jesus sought honor and accolades from who? From men. They stand up and they preach these great sermons and rip their clothes when bad things happen, and they go up and they say these great prayers and they think they're better than everyone else. And they seek the honor and the accolades from men, but Jesus rejects this type of honor. Jesus not only labeled the Pharisees hypocrites, you snakes, you vipers. Man, it even got to the point in the very next thing that he said that if you act like this, you're on your way to hell. Wow. Honor is a serious thing. And if it's tainted by our flesh or it's tainted by the enemy, it can be condemning and it can be destructive in our lives. I don't know about your upbringing. I don't know where you've learned about honor. I don't know if maybe today is one of the days that you're learning about honor for the first time. But I was personally raised by good parents. Not perfect, but good parents. The man I called dad, he was in the active military in the late 70s as a Marine. Hoorah. This is before I was born. But he taught me honor from a very young age. He instilled a virtue in my life of honor for four major things: for other people, for the United States of America, and for its flag, and for our God. And many years ago, God dropped something deep into my spirit that I try to live by as often as I can. And this is what God taught me. No matter what, church, no matter what, you can never go wrong by honoring. Deserving or not, we are all called to honor others. And when the honor happens, and when that honor is done, there's a releasing of blessings. Blessings that are released onto other people, and a releasing of blessings upon ourselves as well. So what does the Bible say about honor? As a noun, honor in the Bible means this: esteem, value, or great respect. To honor someone is to value them highly, bestow upon value to them. So the Greek word for honor is this: it's time. It's a valuing. If you speak to a Greek man about time, he thinks of something of great value, something that is precious, something that is weighty. Time to him is precious like gold. And no one puts gold in a junk drawer. People take gold and they assign it a place of honor. Many of you today are probably wearing gold. Other definitions you can find for honor is this: appreciation, esteem, favorable regard, and respect. The antonym or the opposite of honor is pretty easy: dishonor. It means to show no respect and no value. See, listen to this, church. Is this not what the world teaches? Dishonor shows disrespect or value, or it treats things as common, or treats things as ordinary or menial. The two strongest forms of dishonor is this: to be treated shamefully, or to be humiliated. Honor is a big deal to God. And it's a big deal to us as people as well. The Bible gives us a command to honor one another in many relationships: in friendship relationships, work relationships, family relationships, marriage relationships, pretty much any relationship we may have. Because everyone deserves to be honored. Church, I want to encourage you to please let go and forgive so you can honor and you can be honored. The Bible instructs us to express honor and esteem towards specific people right? Many of you even said it this morning. I'm going to highlight three right now. Three specific people that the Bible instructs us to honor. Number one, our parents. Two people said parents. Very good. Number two, the aged. And number three, those in authority. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Leviticus 19:32. Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for their aged. Fear your God. I am the Lord. Romans 13:1. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Oh, come on, man. For all authority, okay, now I can, comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. But we must understand that all authority and honor belongs to God alone. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. God does, though, delegate his authority to others. Why? To bless his children, to bless his church. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. All authority is God-given. This is truth. But not all authority is godly. Amen to that? Y'all know. Y'all better vote. Amen? If you're a Christian, you wonder if you should vote. Yes. You should vote. Give to Caesar's what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Voting is so important. Pray, vote. And who should you pray for? Should it be Republican, Democrat, Independent? No, it should be whoever looks most like Jesus and has the values of what Jesus would have. Right? There ain't nobody perfect. You know how I know that? Because you ain't perfect. That's how I know that. Amen. I'm first in line. I'm not perfect, so why I keep looking for these perfect people? Thank you, God, for mirrors. Honor is not something that is earned, church. Honor is given. Peter says it so well. Some of you touched on this just a moment ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the king. The idea of honoring others, especially those in authority, comes from the fact that they represent God's ultimate authority. Therefore, Romans 13:2 tells us, so anyone who rebels against authority, is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Oh, snap. I mean, that's, will you mind putting that back up there, Joshua? Let's soak in for a moment. Now, that doesn't mean you sacrifice godly things. You obey no one if it goes against God, ever. But if it doesn't go against God, anybody who rebels against authority rebels against God, and they're going to be punished. Whew. Thank you, Pastor. You brought such a great word today. My job is not to tickle your ears. It's to speak to your soul. So what does this mean as a Christian? If we don't honor civil authority, and we don't honor governmental authority, and we don't honor spiritual authority, or anyone in a position of honor, we are dishonoring God himself. So what are the ways you can show honor? Here's three. In deed, in word, and the one all of us, the one that Jesus speaks to a lot. Through thought. See, honor originates from the heart. Pure honor comes out of the fear of the Lord. Pure honor. Pure honor is not only in deed. See, if you have pure honor, it's a lifestyle. In the Bible, the word love, right? We all love love. In the Bible, the word love many times is used together with honor. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Honoring others, however, goes against our natural sinful instincts. Who do we naturally honor? And who do we naturally value above all others? Ourself. That's why Philippians chapter 2, 3 says this. Don't be selfish. Quit trying to impress other people. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Pastor, how do we do such a thing? It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. See, we cannot esteem or honor another person by ourselves without the power and the love of the Holy Spirit that's in us. See, maybe that's why honor seems so foreign in our day and age, seems so foreign in America today. There are many, many people. There's a remnant that listens to the Holy Spirit and follows his leading. And they even listen in honor, godly honor. Church, we must preach to the next generation. True honor, godly honor, pure honor. See, true honor cannot be done half-hearted. True honor is an outflow from the heart that fears God. Honor extends up, and honor extends out. I was pleased this morning to see how many people before the Lord was honoring him, not only with words or lifting of their hands, but with their body. And they were honoring him. He's the king. He's the king, God. You deserve all honor. Lord, may we daily remember to bow before you and recognize where our strength comes from. You alone deserve the honor, God. It's nothing in us. The Christ who died in the Spirit of the living God who's in us that even makes us anything to look like you, Jesus. We honor that this morning. Worship you, God. See, honor is an essential key to receive from heaven. You cannot receive from heaven if you do not honor the King. See, those who honor God will be honored. And the Bible teaches, if you honor a leader, you'll receive the reward God has to give through that leader. If you treat a leader, no matter what position they may hold, as menial or common or just, oh, that's just so-and-so, or that's just whatever. If you've gotten to that point in your heart and that it's even coming out of your mouth, you're going to miss the blessing that God has to give through that leader. You will. So, church, practice a culture of love. Treat others with respect. Submit to the ones over you. Show honor, and you will be blessed. Lastly, this is what I really want to hone in on this morning. Anybody else do some praise-ercise this morning? I'm a little sweaty. Right? Hallelujah! Come on now. I hope you brought your dancing shoes. Come on now. Praise-ercise, that's what I'm saying. Pastor, you need a little more praise-ercise. Put the cookie down, bro. All right. I want to hone on this morning. See, the Bible speaks about another noteworthy group of people. The Bible says that are deserving of double honor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church, and they do it well, are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and in teaching. So the leadership of the church, they're called elders in God's word. In the first century church, some elders labored in word and in doctrine by devoting their time to preaching and teaching, while others did so privately. However, all elders gave their attention to the interests of the church and the welfare of its members. These men were entitled to double honor in respect in their position, also in material and monetary support. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 say this, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor," there's three key words in here, "honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other." Man, any pastor knows, Lord Jesus, if the people can live peacefully, I will be a blessed man. I will be a blessed man. Can't we all just get along? We need to get along. Amen? So as I was praying this week and last week, and I was preparing, church, I was preparing, God, what do you want to do to start this month with honor? And no, I was not preaching about myself, in case you're wondering, right? I was not. God was preparing for another. And he was speaking to me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." God gave leaders to the church. Amen? God wants us to honor those leaders. I'm thankful for October, where we get to honor pastors. It's amazing. It's a blessing. A lifeline. I can't even explain it. Church, God said this to me. Pastor Harris, have you ever stopped and just wondered? Have you ever done this in your life before? Have you ever just stopped and recognized the thing that you may be standing upon may have been built by the many that have gone before you? Have you stopped to honor the ones that have helped guide you and empower you to do the things that you're doing now? See, many times your honor and your gratitude will determine your altitude. The Bible tells us to live a life of purpose. We are all called to do something in our life. Amen? You have a purpose in your life. Ask God what it is and then do it no matter what. We're all called to do something in our life, something extraordinary, something worthy of honor. Matthew 22, verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." May I talk to you about a man that was chosen, a man who taught me some basic life-changing principles as a pastor and as a child of God. He taught me this: always spend time with God, because you can do nothing. You can't do one thing without him. And he also taught me these three major things about ministering to the church. Number one, love the people. I'm like, okay, I got it. Number two, love the people. Slow down. I'm a slow learner. And number three, love the people. A man who built this pulpit with his bare hands. Pastor Stevens came to Open Bible Church at a young age of 16. He had no idea or aspirations of becoming a minister. I feel you on that. Much less pastoring a church. During the next 3 years, however, God dealt with his heart regarding the ministry. And in 1965, he accepted the call and enrolled in Open Bible College. Sharon Sexton, who was raised in Open Bible Church from birth, also attended Open Bible College at the same time. How could she have known that one day she would return to the church to share pastoring with her family and lifelong friends? They began dating their senior year and were married shortly after they graduated in 1969. Then they moved to Chicago and worked at Prevention Incorporated, ministering to those involved in drug and alcohol abuse. They later pastored a church in Pierre, South Dakota, before coming back to Cedar Rapids. Pastor Stevens accepted a position of associate pastor under Reverend Neil Gale in 1973 and was elected senior pastor in January of 1988. With the exception of 1 year in which he taught at Open Bible College, he had been sharing the pastoral duties of the church. One particular event stands out to me and illustrates how God answers prayers and his hand being upon our church. In 1964, Pastor Stevens walked to work, and he walked to Davis Dairy Maid on Edgewood Road on the northwest side. His route always took him past a particular church on E Avenue on the northwest side. In front of the property were some lilac bushes which surrounded a beautiful white cross. One summer evening, on his way home, he stopped to admire the cross. A thought came to his mind, and he viewed the cross. Pray for this land or our church. He tried to dismiss it and thought because another church owned the property that just didn't seem right. But again, he felt the compelling urge to pray. After a brief prayer, he continued home and forgot all about that evening, mentioning it to no one. Several years passed, and during the pastorate in South Dakota, he received a call from Sharon's parents telling him the church had purchased land for a new building. Being of curious nature, Pastor Stevens asked, "Where was that land located?" He was amazed when they told him it was on E Avenue Northwest, the same property over which he had prayed years before. See, God answered the forgotten prayer of a young Christian boy who would be destined to pastor a church on the same spot 24 years later. Even then, God knew the future of First Open Bible. Pastor Stevens' vision was that this would be a praying church, a place of peace and fellowship of love where people will grow spiritually. It'd be a church where people would be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be nurtured in their Christian walk. Missions would be a priority with our focus on others. He foreseen a growing church that both lives and models great Christianity and would produce great Christians. 1969 to 2019 marks 50 years of ministry. An incredible feat most people will never be able to accomplish. Open Bible National Convention was this summer, and his wife and him were not able to attend because they're out of the country with family. And they announced his name and 50 years of ministry, but he was not able to celebrate. So we celebrate with you today. We honor you today, Pastor Stevens. We will honor. Amen. Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Much deserved. See, church, Jesus told me we will give honor where honor is due. There is no better way to start this month than to honor the one who deserves it the most. Pastor Stevens, I'm proud, I know it's a joke, to call you my boss, my spiritual father, my mentor, and my friend. Pastor Stevens and Sharon, will you please come up here so we can bless you? Love you. Man. Love you, boss. He probably hates every moment of this. So we're going to go ahead and get it right in the middle. Right in the middle. True. But you know what? We got to listen to the Lord. He wants to honor you. So here's a gift from our church to you and your family. Yep. And this is the plaque that they presented that he forgot about and we stole. In the name of the Lord, we stole it. Right? And if he ever asked, I had Pastor Cody put it in his office so I could say, I don't have it in my possession. Right? Because I didn't want to lie to him. So, President Bach of Open Bible wants me to take a picture with you to present this plaque with you today and to give this to you because they're going to celebrate you and all the ones that had 50 years. And so I want to hand this to you, and we're going to have to do a cheesy smile in front of the camera. Okay? So we're going to shake hands and... you. And then stay up here for a moment. So, a couple other things that God told me to do. Pastor Sonny Freeze was the worship leader for Pastor Stevens for many, many years. And he told me that his favorite song, one of his favorite songs, was In Christ Alone. So before we leave today, we're going to sing that together. But I want to encourage you, and the reason why you had to leave last week is because I hope you came last week. If you didn't, I hope you'll be able to still come and join us. We bought a whole bunch of cupcakes. We bought a beautiful cake. We have a great celebration all in the fellowship hall right after this. And I encourage everybody, if you brought a card of appreciation, to give it to them or put it in the little box that we have. And I want you just to go through and just tell them how much they mean to you. If you've been here any longer than maybe the last 10 years, you know exactly what they have done to this church. But if you have not been here that long, let me tell you exactly what God told me. He might have not been your pastor at some point, but you never, ever go wrong honoring, ever. You always, always, always honor. Amen? So we're going to have a celebration right after church. But church, will you stand with me? I want to pray for them, and then I'm going to have them go as long as whenever they want to go. But we're going to sing your favorite song here in a moment. Hopefully it's one of your favorite ones. This is what Pastor Stevens does. Hey, Pastor Sonny, play that one with Jesus in it.
That's it.
Right, that one.
That's it.
You know, that one with the amen and the hallelujah. Yeah. You know, the one with the Jesus in it.
And that's the one.
Only by the power of Jesus and the presence of the living God does anybody know what he's talking about, right?
Amen.
The Spirit.
Amen.
Right? I think that's what the Bible says. It groans, right? Because he's like, oh, I'll tell him. I'll tell him. I'll tell Pastor Sonny. But I want us to pray for you. And thank you for being such a blessing. Appreciate you very much. I love you very much. And just a quick thing. We meet together. And when I first became pastor, we met together a lot. And he had page after page of things that he wrote down, right? And they're all suggestions, right? These are just suggestions, you know. Chew the meat, spit out the bones, right? But I value that. I've been in sports my whole life, and I'm just as good as the coach that I have that can push me, right? And I'm so thankful to have an amazing life coach, a spiritual father in my life. And toward the end, he goes, you don't need me anymore. I said, listen, this man that stands behind this pulpit, you're preaching a lot of things through me. I need you, and I still need you. And I value you, and I thank you. And I thank you for all that you've done for my wife and helped her walk through it. It's not easy being a pastor's wife. It is not easy. That might be the hardest job in all of the church. And it's a lonely and sometimes a heartbreaking job, and you have helped my wife walk through so much. We value you. We thank you. We praise the God in you, and we thank you for all that you've done. And I pray that today will be a day of honor for you because you deserve it.
Yes.
Amen. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. We extend your hands, church. Father, we love you. We thank you and we honor you, God. The three things that you told me, God, is we honor people in spiritual authority, the elders, and then also our parents. Thank you for this spiritual father to so many. Thank you that he was a pastor among pastors to so many people in this church. Thank you that he's still pastoring. God, thank you that he allows me to be known as his pastor and that I'm able to be in such a position to pastor him and to love him, God. What an honor that is. Thank you for allowing me to recognize the things that I stand upon are because of the pillars that have been built before us. God, may we go further and stronger than we've ever been before because of the prayers and the anointing and the honor that comes from this beautiful couple. May they be honored today. Lord, we love you. And just like the song we're about to sing, it's only in Christ alone that we can do anything. We love you. We praise you. May they be blessed. God, I pray for many, many more years, healthy years. I pray for years in their family. I pray that the bondage of whatever it is that the enemy like to do, I break it right now by the power and by the blood of Jesus. We ask that the Holy Spirit comes right now. May there be a double portion of honor, just like your word says, for the ones that taught and preached. thank you for all the many years. God, I pray for strength in his body. If there's any sickness in their body right now, by the stripes of Jesus, may you be healed right now. May you not battle that. May this be not a time to retire, but to refire in the things that God has called you to. May in these years maybe not be ministry in a position, but ministry is your life. You are ministry, and we thank you for that. May you pour upon everyone and be spiritual mommy and daddy to so many. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you.
As we get ready to leave, Josh, if you could put those words up for us. I'm not going to sing the verses, I'm just going to sing the chorus. But the verses listen like this. In Christ alone will I glory. Though I could pride myself in battles won. And all the battles, you can look back and say, yeah, it could have been me, but it was Christ. And that's what I always recognized in Pastor Stevens. For I've been blessed beyond measure. And by his strength alone, I overcome. I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. Verse 2 says, in Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. Only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. We didn't sing those very often, but this is the part that we sang, and I truly believe this is the part that he found so much solace in and comfort all through 20 years. We stood side by side for 20 years ministering to the people of God. I'll never forget that time. He ministered to me all through those years, and I'm so grateful that I was able to be part of that. And so we thank you, Pastor. We love you. If you would just sing this with me. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, yes, my source of hope is Christ alone. Sing it one more time. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. My source, yes, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Father, we thank you that in your strength alone, in Christ alone, God, we give you thanks today for Pastor and Sharon, and we're just going to go next door and just enjoy a time of fellowship with them. But we thank you, Lord, for being in the house today. The presence was wonderful, and we give you praise because you alone are worthy. Go with us now. We give you the thanks. We give you the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for being here today, tonight, praise and worship. We'll see you then. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.